LinkedIn seems to be the king of the hill. How did they reach out or respond to that with you?
So there's a long story with this. And of course, we were using the LinkedIn name and brand. Yeah. And I know a lot of people who understand legal trademarks will say, how on earth did you get away with that? So when we started, we were very much informal. This is, you know, these events are not for profit. If you want to organize one, keep it, you know, free or just covering costs. Don't be seen to be making a huge profit with this, because LinkedIn will step in. We tried to contact a few, both Alexandra and Swish had contacts at LinkedIn HQ themselves. They tried to contact LinkedIn's head office and get in touch to explain the kind of need and demand there was for something like this, and really to get some clarification on, you know, there was a big thing about the use of the official LinkedIn logo. We were told not to use that quite early on through a group, I think, in North Carolina. Someone at LinkedIn had complained about it. So we took the logo off it and used our own logo, still using the name. But we really tried to work in partnership with LinkedIn from day one. Those efforts weren't very well founded in terms of we just sort of got crickets. No one was really listening. So we just continued in a manner that we felt they would allow us to continue, which was all keeping it very much grassroots, very much claiming not to be formally affiliated with LinkedIn or anything like that. And after about 12 months, so in 2018, finally somebody from the marketing department reached out and they loved it. Absolutely loved it. They could not have come up with better feedback on how they wanted to support the content that was coming out of these events. And they would have known, you know, we have stories, numerous stories of very big influencers on LinkedIn who actually started because somebody dragged them to a LinkedIn local event. They'd never even used the platform. They started using it from that day and they have over 1 million followers now. So they knew it was actually increasing platform usage. And suddenly it became relevant for people locally to use LinkedIn, which for a lot of people in, I think, a local business environment, it probably hasn't, and it's probably perhaps still isn't. And so they were very positive. But over the, we were in conversation with that team for probably nearly 9 months, had numerous calls with them. And over the course of a few months, the language changed and it became very legal. And I think someone at the legal department got a hold of it and just said, no way. So I think the marketing team found themselves in a slightly awkward situation on, because at this point it was in 96 countries and in over 1,000 cities. Like it was so big and none of us had anticipated. And honestly, it would have. I mean, that's enormous, but it would have doubled had they have let us continue doing what we were doing. But the outcome was they decided to issue some very generic terms, which are the terms that still actually exist to this day. And, I mean, I continue to run LinkedIn local events in Coffs Harbour where I live, and many groups did continue. So they didn't shut it down. They just gave it some very generic rules, which essentially meant our role as mentors, as community managers, because we had a whole host community where everyone was collaborating, forming partnerships, sharing a lot of information. The terms very much meant that, and all of those values and that internal host community couldn't exist anymore. And so I, as a kind of leader in that, stepped back. We all stepped away as, I guess, community managers. We still kind of call ourselves as creators or founders of the movement. But and I honestly think in terms of corporate, you know, I will say this very openly, in terms of supporting corporate grassroots movements, it was, I think, one of the worst examples of a response that a global corporation could have had to something that is actually impossible to create from an internal marketing perspective and an internal community perspective. It could only have done what it did because it was a user community and because it was grassroots. Now, I am fully aware of all the legal situations and everything that we stepped upon and, you know, couldn't have gone with, but I think there was a potential for an easier partnership that they could have supported and let things really run But as history has it, you know, there's a pandemic 12 months after all of that happens, and every opportunity to meet in person shuts down. So who knows what would have happened in hindsight.
It's funny, isn't it? I struggle to think why a movement like that that was driving so much natural consumption and growth, tapping into almost previously untapped segments of a user base, would not be thought of differently, particularly given how broad it was. I find that difficult.
It is. It's difficult. And I think there was certain, I think there was anger even from, I think, for example, the corporate team in India as to how it had been handled. And the German market were not happy about how it had been handled. It was a very generic response. But I think at the end of the day, it comes back to corporate strategy and the business model. I mean, the business model for LinkedIn is not events. They don't. There's a whole legal challenge in terms of organizing conferences and events with your official name on it. And I just think it was just not under their radar. That was very much how they thought it could continue, and it certainly has. I mean, there's people still starting events in, you know, actually somebody sent me a message this morning. It was in Sierra Leone. They wanted to start an event there. You know, it's still continuing to grow, but there's no collaboration. There's no way of even knowing that there's actually one in a city already. Like it's impossible to, you know if there was one even, if you wanted to start one. There's actually no way of even looking up. There's no host register. There's nothing for anyone to understand. Or traveling, if you're traveling to a new city and you want to actually go to a LinkedIn local event, which was so common, we were hearing that all the time. You know, there's no way of even finding those events unless you happen to search on a hashtag or stumble upon an event. And even it's assuming somebody's even using a hashtag, which perhaps probably isn't really the case anymore. So,
you know, it's interesting, and I'd love to just get your thoughts on building on why or how would you think about, if you had your time over again, if you were that second or third or fourth person who saw the movement being built on a native platform, just like what you've described, how would you think about engaging with the platform differently if you had your time over again, knowing that the sort of semi-accidental adding of a hashtag was actually the germ that made all of this germinate into something pretty magical? How would you think about that, and maybe the advice you would give to people that maybe are not trying to do something similar to that, but are going, look, I want to, I see a very natural fit for me to maybe increase the consumption of a not yet partner organization. Let's use LinkedIn as the example, driving more use. What would your advice be to them around trying to bring a new opportunity like that to them?
I think it's a difficult question. I think it's really, if I saw that, I would, whether it's LinkedIn or not, I would be careful of trademarks. I mean, I think it's hard. It's a different question to, if I had my time over again, what would I do differently? Because the answer to that is nothing. We tried, we really tried to get in touch with LinkedIn's head office, and we couldn't. And no one saw what was coming. But, you know, to see it again and to understand and reframe and or to frame something new that's happening, I think you've got to be careful of, you know, the legalities of using names that you don't own that could be potentially seen as damaging or in some way. You know, having said that, you know, there's Twitter when it was called Twitter, X when it was called Twitter. I mean, they used to have meetups all over the world that was user organized. You know, it's a very grassroots thing. You know, and it's the case of, you know, part of my business is providing LinkedIn training, and I will organize a LinkedIn workshop and I will call it a LinkedIn workshop. There's no difference to call it doing so LinkedIn local. I'm not formally endorsed by LinkedIn. There's no way. So plenty of it happens, but I think to see something and start it, I would just be careful around the ownership of what you're doing. and also ensure that you also own the work that you're doing, if that makes sense.